beautiful chapter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is probably my favorite, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And then we saw where Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then we were reminded last week, he says, I want you all to follow the same rule or live by the same rule here in verses 15 through 19, which brings us, we'll start at 18 where we finished last week. He says, from any walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we see Paul here is contrasting the people he talked about last week, the unsaved, how they are the enemies of the cross, how it's all about what they can get and so forth. He says, but we, God's children, our conversation is in heaven. And that's our title. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would grow through your word tonight. You teach us and guide us. We thank you for it. And we give you the service and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we saw last week, verse 18, many walk that they are the enemies of the cross. Unsaved, opposed to Christianity, verse 19. God is their belly. Their lives are all about what they can get for their flesh, for their desires. And he says, whose glory is their shame? They glorify sin just like the world does today. You know, sinfulness is lifted up as a good thing where it used to be evil. And then who mind earthly things? Their life goals are all about now, not eternity. And then Paul, to contrast that for you and me here in verse 20, for our conversation, talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, that is how the world is walking. They're all about the now. They're all about the flesh. They're all about sin. We should be about heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. Now, that word conversation is an older usage of the English word, which is talking about our entire demeanor, all of our behavior, not just what we say with our mouth, but all of our lives. Remember back in verse 27 of chapter 1. Turn back there quickly. Remember he said there, only let your conversation. So the same word, same meaning. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your conversation be a reflection of your profession. That you claim to be a Christian. Your conversation or your behavior should back that up. And then in Ephesians 4, turn over there quickly, just to the left, one book, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That's us. We're called to be Christians, servants, soldiers, stewards. We're to walk worthy. Our conversation is to be a reflection of that. And then down in verse 22, same chapter, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's the old man. That's what it says, right? The old man. We're to put him off. That's our former conversation, Ephesians 4:22. And we're to put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24. And then, of course, most of us know Hebrews 13:5, right? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But the beginning of the verse says, let your conversation be without covetousness. So our conversation, our behavior, our demeanor, everything about us is in heaven. We're now citizens of a new country. Amen? A place called heaven. And that is what we should be living for. That is what our whole demeanor should be about, is what is coming, not what is now. And that's hard to do because we live in this world. We work in this world. We fight battles in this world, but we are to have our conversation in heaven. Look at Ephesians 2:6 quickly, if you would. Part of the reason for that is because We're already there. Amen? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The day we got saved, we were put into Christ, which means we're already in heaven because Christ is in heaven. That's what this means. We're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So yes, right now, for us, we're here on earth, fighting sin, fighting the devil. But God doesn't see things like we see them. God sees us already there because we're in Christ. We're part of Him. And then look at Colossians 3, if you would, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. Paul again reminding us that our lives are to be about then, not now. He says, if ye then, verse 1, be risen with Christ. So if you're born again, in other words, if you've been raised again because you're in Christ and He was raised again, what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Look at verse 2. Set your affections, or affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So our affections, our desires, what we're seeking, what we're living for, our conversation is to be in heaven. Because look at Hebrews 11:13. God explains why this is the case. Because this world is not our home anymore. The day we got saved, this world, we became strangers. We became pilgrims, just passing through. Amen? Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's us. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. Our home's already given to us. Amen? Jesus told us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself and so forth. So God says that our conversation is to be in heaven, that we're to be living for heaven. That's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because that's your future home. And eternity compared to 80 or 100 years is a long time. So verse 20 then, he goes on to say, for we look for the Savior. And so God teaches here that while we're living for heaven, part of that is watching for Christ. Because we believe that He saved us from hell. Which means we also must believe that He's coming back. Because Jesus talked more about His return, or the Bible talks more about His return than it does even about salvation in the New Testament. How about that one? Mentions His return over 300 times. We're to be, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So while we're living for then, we're to be watching for Jesus to come back and take us to then. Amen? And then Paul wraps it up by telling us in verse 21 what he's going to do when all this happens. Firstly, he's going to change our body. Amen? Look what God calls it, our vile body. Vile means disgusting, means abominable. He's going to change that body, and what? He's going to fashion it like unto His glorious body. Talking about His post-resurrection body, which was different than His pre-resurrection body, wasn't it? Because in His post-resurrection body, he was passed through walls. Remember when the disciples were hiding? He just showed up. He didn't even open the door. And in His post-resurrection body, He went to heaven and back in a day. He didn't do any of that prior because He had chosen to limit Himself to humanity like us. But His glorified body, that's the body we're going to get. Our bio body is going to be changed. Amen? And part of that is our understanding. Part of that is the body itself. But let's look at some of this. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Part of getting this new body is also getting a new understanding. Right now, we don't understand a lot because we're limited. Because we're humans. And humans are wicked, as we saw Sunday morning in Sunday school. But look what it says about then, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We're going to have perfect knowledge in this new body when he changes our vile body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 now, just a couple of chapters over, verse 42. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. We get a new body. We get new understanding and we get a new spiritual body. And then 1 John 3:2. Quickly, 1 John 3:2, God seals it up in this verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. There it is. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can't do that now, but we will. So God says, it's already a given. You're going to heaven. Jesus is preparing you a place. You're to be watching for his return. And while you're watching for his return, when he's going to give you that new body and change your vile body, what are we supposed to be doing? Living for then. Our conversation is to be for then and not for the now. Then he reminds us at the end of the chapter here in Philippians 3, he's able to subdue all things. We cannot ever, in our understanding, limit his power. Amen? He can subdue all things. We're told in Colossians 1, by him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. This is the Jesus that is coming back for us, who's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And since we know this is true, since we can claim this promise as God's children, our conversation is to be in heaven. Our lives are to be about heaven, about God, about the future, not about the here and the now, not about the flesh, not about the old man. It's a great finish to the chapter because next week we enter the practical chapter, Philippians 4. Probably everybody in this room knows at least one memory verse from Philippians chapter 4, right? Be careful for nothing. We all know that one. And all things to be content. Philippians 4:11. I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. It's a fantastic chapter. That's next week. Anyway, too many spoiler alerts. Our conversation is in heaven and should be in our behavior. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's so beautiful. And just always good to be reminded that you're coming back for us and that we should be looking for that and expecting that and living for that. Help us, Lord, to be focused on that. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. We love you in Jesus' name.